rich history and background. It needs to find its place in the administration of law and the interpretation of law. You're very valuable in that sense, and don't ever forget that.
I'm Julia Fioni.
I'm Simran Singh.
And I'm Anuela Vega. This is Center Scope.
In fall 2020, Ryerson launched the Faculty of Law, a school that aims to increase access to justice and prioritize inclusivity. In honor of Black History Month, we'll be hearing from some of the most prominent voices of the Ontario Bar Association to celebrate the trailblazers in Canada's legal community. I'm attending a panel discussion hosted by Ryerson's Law School. This event will be paying tribute to prominent historical figures in Canadian law, those including Lincoln Alexander, Charles Roche, and Juanita Westmoreland Tarore. The moderator for the event, Charlene Theodore, is the president of the Ontario Bar Association. She's a pretty big deal herself. She's the first Black person to hold this position since the organization began in 1907.
The Association's 113-year history. I assumed the role in a period of social upheaval and a global reckoning on anti-Black racism. I knew that I could not take the platform and power that I was afforded in this role at a time of unrest and also possibility for granted.
Additionally, we're going to hear from a couple of panelists who have built a legacy for themselves in their own right, individuals who have each advocated for human rights and racial injustice throughout their careers. We'll be hearing from Justice Tulik. He served as a judge on the Ontario Superior Court between 2003 to 2012, where he was then appointed to the Ontario Court of Appeal. Justice Tulik speaks about how he was introduced to the law when he first met Charles Roche. Charles was a distinguished Canadian lawyer and human rights activist who fought for migrant rights and battled systemic racism both on the streets and in court. Charles and other several prominent activists founded the Black Action Defense Committee, which protested the treatment of Black people by police calling for the independent investigation of police shootings. The well-esteemed Black Action Defense Committee is credited for the creation of Ontario's Special Investigation Unit and the creation of the Commission on Systemic Racism in Ontario's criminal justice system.
I went to law school. I started law school in 1986 at Osgoode Hall. There weren't a lot of us as Black students there. There were about three of us in my class, or in my year. And our first introduction to the legal profession was, a reception hosted by Charles Roche. So for him, you know, he was a great, as we all know, he was a great civil rights lawyer, someone who was deeply committed to social justice and, to the betterment of the Black community.
We'll be hearing from the Honorable Justice Harry Laforme. Justice Laforme is the first appellate court judge in Canadian history from a First Nations background. He is a member of the Mississaugas of the New Credit, and has served as the Commissioner of the Indian Commission of Ontario. He was also the chair of the Royal Commission on Aboriginal Land Claims, and until he resigned in 2008, he was the head of the Indian Residential School's Truth and Reconciliation Commission. He shared the influence Lincoln Alexander had on his career and his family. Lincoln was the first Black Canadian to serve as a member of Parliament, Federal Cabinet Minister, and Lieutenant Governor of Ontario. Lincoln was also a leading figure in the fight for racial equity in Canada.
I first met Lincoln Alexander when he was the Lieutenant Governor. And I was working with an Indigenous organization at the time. I was a lawyer then. And just because of the relationship that we constantly talk about, colonialism and First Nations being subjected to colonialism, We were just getting into that conversation. So part of it, because he represented the Crown, we wanted to have a session with him so we could dialogue about what this relationship was all about. So he graciously gives us an audience with him, and he so this organization, which I was part of, from a legal context, we walk in to meet the lieutenant governor. There's a bunch of chiefs. There's other members from council from the organization. And he was very gracious. He was very friendly. And that's one of the things that we were really impressed by, because he was going to listen, and we knew that he was going to listen, except that one problem came up. And that problem was really my dad.
As gracious as Lincoln Alexander was, he was also into good conversation. And LaForme's dad, who was the chief of LaForme's First Nation at the time, bonded with Lincoln over their shared experience as racialized people growing up in Hamilton.
All of that. But they got talking about racism and how they grew up as young men in Hamilton, where really their presence wasn't all that wanted. Mm-hmm. And they got to laughing and sharing these stories. And they were talking about, and this was where the laughter really came from. They got talking about all these places that they got kicked out of, not because they were rowdy or anything like that, but just because they were of color, right? Mm-hmm. And once they started, they just kept going back and forth. We remember this place. Well, I remember here. We both got kicked out of this place, and nobody got kicked out of this place. And it just went on and on. And so what we didn't get a lot of discussion done because of my dad and Lincoln Alexander having this incredibly good time talking about when they were young men. And I think one of the very interesting things about that, that it illustrates as well, is that laughter becomes a sort of a tool to address things like, you know, racism and the treatment that you can get from other people. And I noticed that Lincoln Alexander did the same thing. It was all about, this whole thing came down to all these stories of abuse and rejection and racism, and yet they just seemed to have a really good time about talking about it. And
I know Justice Tulick shares his sentiments about how Juanita Westmoreland Torore had an impact on him as a young Black student at Osgoode Law School. Juanita studied law at the University of Montreal, graduating in 1966 as the only Black student in her class. In 1996, she was the first Black dean of a law school in Canada, with a 3-year tenure at the University of Windsor.
And she was extremely influential to us as not only Black students, but to all students that were grappling with the issues of rights and discrimination. You know, and back in the 80s, those of us that were not white, we felt a real insidiousness of racial discrimination, both directly and indirectly, you know, towards us. And so it was important for us to have an outlet where we can have frank and open conversations. And people like Juanita, she allowed that. And subsequently,
we'll be hearing from Justice Gregory Regis. Coming from his hometown of St. Lucia, Justice Regis was appointed as the first non-white person to hold the title of Regional Senior Justice for the Central East Region of Ontario in 2007. Since retiring in 2014, he continues to serve as a part-time judge, and in 2017, he was appointed as Distinguished Visiting Professor at Ryerson University. Justice Regis talks about Lincoln Alexander's impact in the legal community, considering their shared Caribbean heritage.
I first became aware of him by watching him perform in the House of Commons as a member of Parliament. And when he was the Minister of Labour, in particular in the Joe Clark government. And I remember watching the news at nights, and a couple of things stuck out to me. That One, he was so articulate. I mean, you could, Lincoln could make the point, and you always understood what he was saying. Mm-hmm. And his intellect was obvious. But the thing that struck me the most throughout all of this, you know, as you know, in politics, the people banter and they're people sometimes be nasty to each other. I found Lincoln was always reasonable and fair. Even when he answered his questions from the oppositions, it was always with respect, and it was always with a sense of duty that he had to, he was doing his job. Well, of course, he was an elegant dresser, you know, which most Caribbean people can understand. You know, I mean, he looked like a sweet man. And then, what always oozed out of him was his sense of public service. Mm-hmm. And
finally, Justice LaForme reminded us that the legacy of Trailblazers is still ongoing for years to come, especially because there is still so much work to be done with injustice reform.
There is not that many of us out there blazing whatever trail we are, so they're still to be had. These young people are still going to do that. They're still going to be firsts, and they still got different trails that they're going to blaze because, you know, we haven't arrived to the point where we lead everybody. And so I think they just have to appreciate that. But I can tell you, if Ryerson achieves what I think it will achieve, and I know it wants to achieve, they will be trailblazers, and they'll know how to do it, and they'll have the tools to do it. I am an Indigenous judge first. I'm not a judge who is Indigenous. And by that I meant I was going to allow my life's experiences inform my decision making. And if there's any piece of advice I would pass on, that's, I think, is an important one, because you've got rich history and background, and it needs to find its place, as was suggested, in the administration of law and the interpretation of law. You're very valuable in that sense, and don't ever forget that.
CenterScope is a production of the Ryersonian and the Ryerson School of Journalism. I'm your host, Simran Singh. Julie Fioni is our co-reporter and co-host. This episode was mixed by our executive producer, Manuela Vega. Our editor-in-chief is Abhi Raheja, and our managing editor is Kirti Vyas. Our instructors are Peter Baker George and H.G. Watson. That's the scope, everybody. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.